Sportscast, August 28th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels. Facebook, Periscope, iTunes, and YouTube. And if you're in iTunes, please subscribe. Leave a rating and review. It'll help us out in the ratings. The Florida Gators open up the 2019 season with a 24-20 win over Miami Hurricanes in a back-to-back, kind of sloppy back-and-forth game. And no other person that can talk to us of what happened to Florida, but they still won, is Ryan Krista. Ryan, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santiago. It's good to talk to you. Football is back. It's an exciting time around, you know, the sports world. You know, good to have college football back, and preseason NFL football. It's just very soon before we get the kicking off the NFL games. But last week, you know, we dabbled in a little bit of real football, which was nice to watch, and we got to see my beloved Florida Gators take on the U.
Pretty exciting. Obviously, there was some points of the game that we thought Miami was going to win and some other points of the game that Florida was going to win. But at the end of the day, Florida won. The quarterback wasn't that rosy. Miami's quarterback turned out to be way better. What were your thoughts about Florida? Is this a little bit of a hiccup game, or you think this is what you expected? Obviously, it's first game of the year.
You know, one of the greatest things you'll hear, you know, after, you know, first week of games is, this team is good, this player is good, this team isn't good, this player isn't good, you know, we're going to have a great year, we're going to have a terrible. That's all, you know, we need to hold our horses here a little bit, Santiago. Remember, in college football, there's no preseason games, they have limited action, you know. It's hard to really judge a team. You know, we throw a number next to, you know, 25 teams, and we guess who's going to be good, you know. Florida ended the season good last year, so we're going to throw them a number 8 number, you know, in the polls. Are they the best team in the country? They didn't play a lot of games on Saturday. You know, I'll take a look at this game as a fan. You know, I was excited they won that game. It wasn't pretty, like you said. You know, they had a chance early on in the second quarter to really kind of put that game away, but you know, they stumbled twice. They could have, you know, really created some separation. And then Miami came back strong, you know, into the second quarter, third quarter. You know, they took a lead going into halftime, you know, and that's, you know, Florida kind of turned it up, you know, moved the ball a little bit better in the third quarter. A nice break of themselves on the last time, and they capitalized. You know, it was good to capitalize on the stakes. And finish them off, so, you know, that was nice to see that the defense, you know, the pass rush was awesome. You know, 10 sacks, that's a huge number. You'd like to have 10 sacks in, you know, about a month worth of football, not alone just one game. So that was nice to see that, you know, was Zuniga and Grenard really on the edges. But a lot of those sacks, you know, not just the rushes, but, you know, our coverage. I mean, you know, it's great having Marco Wilson back, you know, and C.J. Henderson on the other side. You know, what they did struggle with is tackling, you know. And, you know, oh, my goodness, it was like trying to catch a Bruce Pay trying to tackle some of the Hurricanes the other day, you know. That's something, but that's just going to happen in the first game, you know. And typically, I got a little tangent in this later on. I'll talk to you about that. Typically, you know, especially in college football, you're either playing a really marquee team or you're playing against, you know, a really weak team. And typically, Florida starts off with a really weak team. But going against a, you know, a tough competition like Miami, you're going to be a little bit vulnerable and show some of your weaknesses that, you know, you got to work on. But, you know, overall, very sloppy, you know, the last drive, you know, Miami had the ball for 4 minutes in the game and drove the ball 1 yard. It was a crazy end of the game. Well, you know, Florida had a point in 34, and, you know, just, you know, and they were undisciplined, you know. Again, first games it is, making a lot of, you know, mistakes that, you know, hopefully they can be coached out of. Now, focusing on Felipe Franks, the quarterback for the Gators, you know, all offseason, we hear about how good he's going to be, how much improvement. You know, the last 4 games, he really took over the team. You know, he threw the ball, ran the ball. You know, we talked about, you know, in previous shows how many weapons he's got back this year. It just, you know, it doesn't seem like it was clicking on all cylinders. You know, what I did like is, you know, early on they got the ball in the hands of the playmaker, Kadarius Toney, got him in the space, you know, and he's a guy who's going to make, you know, players miss. And that's what happened in the first touchdown of the play. You know, just a simple screen play, and he breaks through tackles, you know, 60 yards later, you know, Florida takes the lead. Well, you know, I wanted to see a little bit more, you know, getting some of our playmakers involved, and Jefferson, Brown, but, you know, kind of guy we really didn't talk a whole lot about, and that's Frankie Hammond, you know, made a couple of crucial catches, along with, you know, when they had trailing in the fourth quarter, caught a long pass down the middle of the field to kind of set up the Florida go-ahead touchdown pass. So it was nice, you know, to see that they got a lot of people involved, but, you know, we want to see some of the playmakers dip the ball in the hands a little bit more. Speaking of playmakers, Florida did not rush the ball as well as we were hoping to do. 54 yards total, knock up T-Line, while he made a lot of great, you know, plays, you know, to help the team, you know, on fourth downs, a lot of tough plays, catching the ball out of backfield for a touchdown. You know, we just really weren't able to get any of the running game going with him and Pierce and Lloyd Davis. You know, things that'll get going, you know, they got a week off and then they feel T-Line. So I'm not too worried that you're going to be able to fine-tune a couple of things before you got, you know, a couple of SEC games, you know, at Kentucky at home against Tennessee, you know, where, you know, hopefully we put a couple of those pieces together and learn from the mistakes, you know. Again, yeah, it was a game they could obviously lost on Saturday, but, you know, the fan in the initial reaction said, okay, that was good to get that win, but then you take a couple of steps back and you saw the areas that they struggled in. But, you know, talking to you, Sandra, my South Florida and Miami resident, I'm very excited for the Hurricanes in their future. You know, Manny Diaz was the right man for the job. That team got hard. They might have had, you know, as much talent as Florida, but they're a little bit more undeveloped. You know, you could see the cultural change. And I think Dan Mullins played well. He was under a lot of pressure. And, you know, didn't turn the ball over. And, you know, you could see, you know, he made some mistakes, taking a couple of sacks, but he also got out of pressure a couple of times and made a couple of crucial plays to keep the Hurricanes in the game. I definitely think, you know, their competition isn't going to be as strong throughout the year. And I think this team, after watching, you know, I think I would almost change my prediction that I think, well, like this Miami team could definitely win their side of the division in the ACC.
Yeah, something that really looked like, I think Miami has some promise. We'll see if they can win the Coastal. From this game, do you think they can win the Coastal?
Absolutely, Santiago. There's no one as near talented in the Coastal Division as Florida. Like, you know, you got to get better. You know, 10 sacks is a long career who you're playing. But if you give Jaron Davis some time, you know, I think he's got enough playmakers. Jeff Thomas is quite the receiver, speedy. KJ Osborne, the Buffalo transfer, you know, good in the, you know, yeah, they're running back Dallas. He's a tough guy to bring down. But yes, I do think they could definitely win the Coastal Division.
We'll see what happens. Let's read the stats. Felipe Franks had 254 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Perrine had 42 yards. Felipe Franks had 8 yards of rushing. And receiving, Josh Hammond had 93 yards. And, of course, Kadarius Toney had 66 yards, 1 touchdown. Toney was the man, like the star of the game, again, for Florida, but do you think Florida might drop a few places, or do you think they'll stick around 8 after this weekend?
I think they may drop a place. You know, we'll see what happens this week and how the teams stand around them. Like I said, on the bye, sometimes you can drop, sometimes you move, but they'll be anywhere from 7 to 10, I think.
Let's move on to Liberty football. Liberty plays their first FBS match this weekend against Syracuse on Saturday at 6 p.m. What are your expectations for this game?
Well, Santiago, you know, as we're two Liberty, 2007 Liberty alums, we were here at the very beginning of Santiago. We were at games when there was, what, 10, 12 people in the stadium, Santiago? You remember those days?
Yeah, more or less.
You know, football is kind of an afterthought on campus. You know, I one of the main reasons why I attended Liberty, obviously being a Christian university, but, you know, a school that I thought, you know, cared a lot about athletics. You know, I got to see a lot of great athletics, you know, as a freshman, the team, best whole team going to the NCAA tournament was great. But, you know, I quickly learned that, you know, football wasn't king on campus. You know, the first three games as a freshman, you know, they lost 43-0, 50-0, and 53-3. So I was quickly learning, you know, this team, you know, this program wasn't a big thing. You know, they didn't put a lot of resources into it, but I had hopes, you know, as we, you know, during those first 3 years in the Tim Carter, you know, kind of hit rock bottom, you know, our junior year when they went 1-11. And this, you know, quickly turned the positive, you know, bringing in Danny Rocco along with transferring Ishaar Jennings, you know, there's a little bit more momentum going on football. You know, the crowd got a little bit bigger. People kind of paid a little bit more attention. But, you know, this team is still an FCS team. Still, you know, lacked going to the playoffs. You know, they were winning a lot of games, but they couldn't win the big game. We graduated. More and more momentum was going into football. You know, a lot more expectation. You know, 2014, they made their first trip to the playoffs, and winning their first game against James Madison. You know, this, you know, the program is starting to turn the corner. But, you know, they didn't really go far in the playoffs. But, you know, the money is being spent. The administration wanted football to be very important. You know, Jerry Falwell Jr. Made that known. They bring in Turner Gill, who I think that it, you know, wasn't able to get us to the next level, but he was able to bring us to the point to get to the next level, and that's why hiring Hugh Freeze was so important. You know, this is a guy who beat Nick Saban 2 years in a row, had a lot of success in the SEC. We know his personal troubles. They're well documented. We know he's got flaws, but we also know how to grade a coach, and we also know, you know, he's ready for a fresh start, and it was kind of a perfect match. You know, is he a long-term answer? I mean, I don't know. It'd be nice, but, you know, this might be the perfect fit to get Liberty to the next level if he gets back into coaching. We don't know, but, you know, 2 years ago they announced this game. They announced they were going to the, you know, FBS, moving from the championship subdivision. You know, this is huge, Santiago.
How critical is Frazee? He had a heart condition this past couple of weeks. You think he'll be okay for the rest of the season?
You know, he had back surgery last week. He had a staph infection. But this guy grinded, Santiago. He was, it's kind of cool to see a lot of the behind the scenes. You know, he was literally coaching from his hospital room in Charlottesville. You know, with cameras and all that. You know, this team, this administration brought Hugh Freeze in for this game. You know, for this game and more. You know, this was a signature moment, Santiago. I will be there Saturday night, 6:00. You know, it was going to be awesome to see. I remember those moments when there wasn't many people in the stands and people would just show up for the game. You know, but now, you know, there's a lot of tension. There's national tension on a Liberty sporting event. We're not just hosting the top 25 FCS team. We're hosting the top 25 bowl subdivision team, Santiago. I got to pinch myself when I think about things like that. You know, that's crazy. there's going to be some growing pains going to the FCS. There's going to be good moments. There's going to be bad moments. There's going to be times when we're going to win a huge game, and there's going to be times we're going to be just outmatched because it takes time. You know, and that might be, we might be outmatched the other day, Santiago. But, you know, having 25,000 people at this game plus, you know, a changing of an environment, you know, that's what's going to be really winning the day Saturday, Santiago. What happens on the scoreboard, I'm not quite sure. But I'm a little sports fan, anyone who cares about the athletic program, it's going to be awesome to see.
It's going to be not, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. We'll see if they give them a challenge. Liberty gives a challenge to Syracuse. They're actually ranked number 22 in the AP poll, so we'll see what happens. Late breaking news, Alabama All-American linebacker Dylan Moses is out for the season with a torn ACL. How much of an impact will that be for Alabama?
Well, it's huge news. Santiago is one of the best defensive players in the country. And we all know that we'll reload and we'll find somebody else. They also stepped up. You know, right now we might not know them. There are a lot of young players. You know, luckily they're not playing the World Beaters. They're going to be playing Duke on Saturday. Duke's ball coach. But, you know, they were their first-round quarterback. You know, I just don't think this is going to be a very good game. It'll probably be good to get some experience with some younger players. But this is a huge loss for the overall season for Alabama. This is a guy I think will be, you know, the first or second round. That's definitely a player who is going to play in the NFL for a long time. I don't know if I feel bad for Alabama, but I do feel bad for this kid because he's a heck of a player.
This will test Alabama's depth this weekend. Well, not this weekend, for this season, so we'll see what happens. Anything else before we head into game predictions?
One thing I just was going to, you know, a lot of overreactions on Monday, or first week. You know, between week zero last week, this week, you know, we're going to judge teams. But as I said earlier, let's put on the brakes. Let's not judge teams. Let's not judge conferences. Let at least the first month of September, let the non-conference games play out. Then we'll see how good teams are. We know every game is important in college football. You know, one loss can really define you. But let's pump the brakes a little bit. But what I'm a little disappointed in, though, is this week there's 42 games against FBS versus FCS teams. And the other one thing I look forward to about week one is the stellar matchups. We only have one matchup between two top 25 teams, and that's between Oregon and Auburn. We have a lot of interesting matchups, and I think we're going to have great games. So again, you know, we can't really judge teams before they play. But, you know, I think we could have a big game between Oklahoma and Houston. That could be a fun watch. You know, maybe Mississippi State will move in, or Lafayette, who knows, Santiago? We don't know. But I'm just a little disappointed in the amount of FBS versus FCS games in week one. You know, and I know this will change, you know, every week you seem like you see a new matchup in the future between, you know, power teams. What's your doing attention? But, you know, for this week, it's going to be a little bit of a bummer seeing, you know, a lot of mismatched games.
Should be pretty exciting. Let's head into predictions. First, Georgia at Vanderbilt.
There's nothing like early season conference football. This game is played in Vanderbilt, but I will bet 70% of the stadium will be wearing red and barking all game long. Georgia wins big.
Clemson at Georgia Tech.
First ever game on the ACC network being played tomorrow on Thursday. Georgia Tech in a big transition. They hired Jeff Collins from Temple. With Paul Johnson retiring, Paul Johnson's going to play this triple option football. So they've got a whole identity crisis right now as they move out from the triple option. And it's probably a worst case scenario going against the most talented team in the country, and that being Clemson. So it's going to be a rough day, you know, being in Death Valley for Georgia Tech. So a big win for Clemson Thursday night.
Oklahoma versus Houston.
I think this is going to be a fun matchup, San Diego. A lot of points, doing a whole different coming from West Virginia back home to Houston with their star quarterback, Eric King. If you remember 2 years ago, Santiago, Oklahoma came to Houston with Baker Mayfield and Michael Keyline and Joe Milton. And they got boat raced by Ed Oliver and the Houston Cougars that day. But so Oklahoma may be looking for a little bit of revenge, and I think they'll get it. First one for Jalen Hurts. We'll see what Lincoln Riley has in store for him this year. He's got back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners in Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. So I think Jalen Hurts will definitely have a nice coming out party. And I think, you know, Oklahoma wins an entertaining game, but they'll win comfortably by about two scores.
Northwestern at Stanford.
This is the nerd alert game, Santiago. You know, two great academic institutions playing against each other. Two teams that are well coached and very physical. I think just because this game is in Stanford, I'm going to go with the Cardinal winning this game.
And finally, the biggest game of the weekend: Oregon versus Auburn.
I'm back and forth on this game a lot. Thank you, Aldo. I can give you reasons why I think Oregon and their offensive line, Justin Herbert, that they should win this game. But, you know, Auburn's got a lot of talent. Santiago, a great defensive line. I think that's where the game is going to be won. Is it going to be Auburn's offensive line? That's the, you know, I think the best defensive line in football, Santiago, with Auburn. But, you know, Auburn's got a brand new quarterback, Bo Nix, who I think will have a great career. But Auburn, you know, they're just always a tough team to beat. They, you know, it's feast or famine for the Tigers. And really too early to tell, so I'm going to go with what I do know, and that's how good the Oregon Ducks are going to be. So I'll pick the Ducks in this game.
Ryan goes with Tyler. Random question, yeah. What is your favorite type of dog?
The Bulldogs, Santiago. Those innings.
No correlation with the Georgia Bulldogs?
No. Not my favorite dog, Georgia Bulldogs. I'm not a dog owner right now, Santiago, but it's kind of a confusion.
That's a good thing. I'm not a believer in pets.
But, you know, one closing thought before, you know, Santiago, this is a huge weekend for the Pac-12. You know, there's a lot of negative attention going on with the Pac-12. And this weekend is going to be a great weekend if Oregon wins, if Stanford wins, if Oregon State can beat Minnesota, if, you know, UCLA is going to play Cincinnati. You know, if they win a lot of these games, I think this Texas will get a lot of positive attention. But if they end up losing these games, you know, it'll be the name could go, and then they're on a smearing of how bad the Pac-12 conference is. You know, I think a huge game for the Pac-12 also is Utah and BYU. Utah is supposed to be kind of the cream of the roster. The Pac-12, if they end up losing that opening game, that's not a good look for the conference. So I'm hoping good for my friends out on the West Coast that, you know, they can make a lot of positive impact this weekend.
We'll see if they can change their schedule to 9 a.m. games so they'll have higher viewership. But anyways, we got to go. Ryan, what is the best way for people to reach you to talk to you about Dan Mullen?
on Twitter, I'm an ad hoc report. You know, this weekend I'll be in Lynchburg. We'll be tweeting a lot about the Liberty Syracuse game. Exciting times to be playing and exciting time to be a college football fan, Santiago.
It's a good feeling. Opening, you could say week one's this week. Last weekend was week zero, but it's going to be a lot of games this weekend. Looking forward to Auburn versus Oregon. Houston and Oklahoma is another big one, and Northwest versus Stanford. The other ones are just pretty mediocre. But, yeah, really, really excited about this weekend. Follow us on thesportscast.net and on Twitter, thesportscast1. We'll have live coverage over the Oregon versus Auburn, live tweeting with Ty Turner. And, of course, have the latest on the if you go on thesportscast.net. We didn't have time to talk about Andrew Luck, but maybe next time. Right, Ryan?
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we'll do more of NFL and make sure that I get on the podcast here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.